stand for prayer as usual. Prayer is coming from Hebrews chapter 4 for this month, which is where our New Testament lesson today is going to come as well. Let's pray. Our Father, give us godly fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into your rest, any of us come short of it. Unto us preach the gospel as it was preached to our fathers, yet preach to us thy word with profit, mixed with faith in us who hear thy word. Amen. Our psalm of praise today should be 149. For some reason, it says 148 on the cover. That's wrong. 149. Psalm 149, to the tune of Old One Octave.
Hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. Unto him a new song and praise. In the assembly of his saints, in sweet songs do
noble nobles of their
Gonzalez to sing the line that says, "Let them have in their right hand a sharp edged sword." We skipped right through the one and got right to that one. And that's kind of funny. Anyhow, I was noticing something that was interesting to me while singing this time through, which I did not notice in the past, and that was where it says, "And he with his salvation, the meek will beautify." And then if you connect that to the things they're going to do later in the psalm, it's actually a pretty interesting thought that only the meek will inherit the earth. You know how Christ says that? That's actually what it's saying there, is that the meek will inherit the earth in that way. So just an interesting thought I had while reading that and singing that this time around. Supposed to sing with understanding. I guess I got some understanding of that one this time. We are in Psalm 19, which is the Hebrew letter Vav. Vav. Little F and V sound, which in Hebrew only has one letter. This will be the sixth part of Psalm 119. The Hebrew letter Vav. To the tune of another related letter, Vudvar. Feel good about this?
Let I see mercy also come, and visit me, O Jehovah, in thy benign salvation according to thy word, thy word.
Evan is what we usually sing, Psalm 2, too. It repeats that Psalm 50. So, why? Bridge the healing.
Why dost thou boast, almighty man, of mischief and of ill? The goodness of almighty God endureth ever still. Devises subtly, like to a razor sharp to cut, working deceitfully. How more than good and more than truth thou lovest to speak wrong. Thou lovest all devouring works, O thou deceitful tongue. So God shall be destroyed for it, remove thee, pluck thee out. Quit from the house, out of the land, of life he shall be ruined. The righteous shall it see and fear, and laugh at him they shall. Lo, this the man is that did not make God his strength at all. But he in his abundant wealth his confidence did place, and he took strength unto himself from his own wickedness. But I am in the house of God, like to an olive green. My confidence forever hath upon God's mercy been. And I forever will be praised, because thou hast done this. I on thy name will wait for good, before thy saints it is.
Did you take notice that it's okay to laugh at those who don't put their strength in God and mock them?
Yeah.
You're allowed to do that. You shouldn't mock people as a general rule that are ignorant, foolish, and stupid, but a person who puts their trust in wealth instead of God Almighty needs to be mocked. It's okay. It is okay. Well, we're going to go to our Old Testament lesson today, recital and recitation of Scripture. We're going to go to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, as we are still going to be dealing with the concepts of covenantalism throughout the rest of this month. We're going to continue covering scriptures out of the Old and New Testament that emphasize covenantalism and the making of covenants. And we're going to go to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24, verse 1. Joshua gathered all of the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and he called for the elders of Israel, and for the heads, and their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God.
And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in the old times, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor,
and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham and the other side of the flood, and I led him through all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac.
And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down into Egypt.
I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterwards I brought you out.
And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and he came unto the sea, and the Egyptian pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea.
And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and he brought the sea upon them, and he covered them, and your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. and ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season.
And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you.
Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose, and he warred against Israel. And he sent, and he called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you.
But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand.
And ye went over Jordan, and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand.
And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow.
And I have given you a land which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwelt in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do you eat.
Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord.
And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
And the Lord answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods.
For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up, and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed.
And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God.
And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins.
If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you, and after that he has done you good.
And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord.
And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourself that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him, and they said, we are witnesses.
Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel.
And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey.
So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and he set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words
in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord.
And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God.
So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance.
And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Yahweh, died, being 110 years old.
And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, in the Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash.
And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel.
And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph.
And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died, and they buried him in the hill that pertains to Phinehas, the son which was given him in Mount Ephraim. There. I think it's a good lesson to notice here the faithfulness of the children of Israel in taking Joseph's bones up out of the land and placing them in the place where he had asked to be laid. If you remember, Joseph made the children of Israel swear to him an oath that they would do that when they left the land. And also, you know, it's a, this is pretty much, as we pointed out last new moon, this is the choice every believer has to make, whether you're going to serve the Lord or you're going to go back and serve the idols of our fathers. So, you know, this is essentially a sin and selfishness. We're going to Hebrews 4 for a New Testament lesson. This corresponds to what we just read about the time of Joshua, or as the book of Hebrews calls Jesus, which is the same name in Hebrew, both being Yeshua. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it.
For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it.
For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world.
For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works.
And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest.
Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief.
Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
For Jesus had given them rest, and he would not afterward have spoken of another day.
There remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God.
For he that has entered into his rest, he has also had ceased from his own works, as God did from his.
Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief.
For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart.
Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession.
For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin.
Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need.
There in our New Testament lesson, you may be seated. Well, I think that comes pretty straightforward, but what the writer of Hebrews is trying to point out is not like what many people point out, that there's a Sabbath left for the people of God. That's just common sense. That's in the Ten Commandments. But that what he's actually speaking about is that there's a greater rest coming for us in life. There's a greater rest coming in the coming of Christ and in the resurrection, and that we are to live our life in faith, that we approach unto that day of rest. And so those are very important things that we should consider, that there are promises made. We don't want to live our life as if we've already obtained such promises, but that if we are, as if we are moving towards promises that are in God, so that we don't come short of it. And it's also very good to point out also that this scripture absolutely confirms, contrary to what some dispensationalist ideologies would teach, is the gospel was preached unto all of our ancestors from Adam all the way to the time of the coming of Christ, and that they didn't receive it because it was not mixed with faith. And so that also stands to reason those who did mix it with faith did have the gospel. So that's an important thing to pay attention to. But a very quick note on 2 Kings 25:3. Day after last Sabbath, in case anybody missed it, there was a great famine in the land that took place in the days of ancient Israel, of course. And we're told about this in Scripture, something to remember. In 2 Kings 25, it says, "It came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, all this began. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all of his host, against Jerusalem, and they pitched against it. They built forts against it round about, and the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah." And then in verse 3, we're told, "On the ninth day of the fourth month, being the day after last Sabbath, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land, and the city was broken up. All the men of war fled by night, the people ran away, and they went by the way of the gate between the two walls, which is by the king's garden, and the Chaldeans were against the city round about, and the king went the way towards the plain." And we're then told that the army of the Chaldeans pursued and overtook the king in Jericho, and his army was scattered from him. So, pretty big deal, things to remember that happened in the fourth month. And one of those things to remember is the Lord started to fulfill the things which he spoke in his wrath because the people broke his word. They broke his law, and they broke his covenant. And so it took a long time for that famine to prevail in the land. But when it eventually caught up with them, they were certainly in dire straits. The sad thing is they still didn't repent. And it took quite some time for even a remnant to repent in the land where they were taken captive. So, well, good things to remember. Try to learn from the example of our ancestors that the things that they did when they were not mixed with faith, as we were just told in the book of Hebrews. We're going to go for an introductory reading today for our Bible study and for the message from Numbers 30, a text we've already covered, and we're going to have a secondary text from Ephesians 5. So we're going to Numbers 30, for our introductory text we'll be dwelling on a little bit. We've already covered this once in this series, and then we're going to tie it into Ephesians 5. And this would be the fifth part, technically. What we did in New Moon when we studied about national covenants was just kind of a bonus, I guess. I didn't really mean for that to be totally part of the series that we're covering, because I'm putting this into a focus on to how do you repair covenantalism in a people. You know, so that's more or less what I want to focus on in part, so tying this back to what we've been covering. Take our combed psalm books and turn to Psalm 26. Psalm 26 to the tune of Constantine.
Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I trusted also in the Lord, slide therefore shall not die. Examine me and do me. Try hearts and brains, O God, for thy love is before mine eyes, thy truth as I have trod. With persons vain I have not sat, nor with dissemblers gone. The assembly of ill men I hate, to sit with such I shun. Mine hand them in a sense, O Lord, I'll wash and purify. So to thine holy altar tell of all thy mighty works that great and wondrous are. The habitation of thine house, Lord, I have loved well. Yea, in that place I do delight, where doth thine honor dwell? When sinners gather not my soul, and such as blood would spill, within this Jesus plots right hand, corrupting bride to fill. I will walk on in mine integrity. Do thou redeem me, and O Lord, be merciful to me. My foot upon an even place that stand with steadfastness. Within the congregation, the eternal I will bless.
I notice we have a tendency of rising the end of the first stanza. I like it better that way. Some of us keep trying to bring us down. But that's all right. Well, we are going to end today with the Apostles' Creed, which is on page Roman numeral XVI, which would be 15. Oh, no, 15 is the line. XVI is 16. All right, why don't we say this all together? It's not been back and forth.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into death, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, a holy called out community, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the flesh, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Well, Brother Christian, will you end us in a word of prayer today? Going to place the speaker by you so that those listening can hear you better.
All right. Dear God, this is the day that you have made, and we do rejoice and are glad for it. Lord, thank you for another week of life and of breath, and the Sabbath day that we've come. Pray that we would begin to love the Sabbath even more, God, and that it would be such a blessing, God, and that we would give you praises for it. Please give us deeper understanding on the fourth commandment. And God, as the message of covenantalism went out, I pray that that we would apply that in our lives, that you'd especially help fathers, any of the fathers that are listening to this message, that you would help them, God, and give them strength to uphold their duty. And areas where they're weak in God, please help them in those areas, and help them to be strong men. And Lord, just pray for the younger men. I pray that you help them, cause them to be strong in you and the power of your might, and cause them to live according to the dictates that is laid out in your scriptures, God. And Lord, we do just thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us your word, your Holy Scriptures, for the prophets and the apostles that wrote all your words down. We do thank you for that. Thank you for giving us direction and a guide of how to know you and how to live our lives. Lord, your son said that the two greatest commandments are to love you and to love our neighbor as ourselves. So I pray that you'd increase that in our lives. Help us to love you more and to love our neighbors more. Pray that you'd increase the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And help us with work, God. Help us to work hard. Give us a sound mind. Give us extra wisdom, God, in our work and how to go about doing it. And please give us extra strength. And Lord, with our finances, pray you'd help us with our finances and that we would honor it according to your standards and that you would just bless us with that, Lord. And Jesus, we thank you for being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you for this food we're about to eat. I ask all these things in your son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.